Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in. What an absolute crazy day for Epstein news. And also, you know, my heart and my salute goes out to all of the brave survivors who spoke today. Absolute phenomenal work. Has the US federal government, the admin who promised to uncover all of the dirt on the Epstein case, sat down with any of the survivors? Absolutely not. As members of the admin sat down with the poster child for human transportation, Ghislain, absolutely. So for those survivors to get up there to that huge crowd, you know, we streamed it live earlier. I hope some of you saw it. To get up there and share their stories, and one of them did it for the first time, I think that the most important thing is to acknowledge the bravery, the authenticity, and what an absolute slap in the face it has been to all of them to sit down with Ghislain Maxwell, for them to watch the sit down with Ghislain Maxwell and yet be ignored for so many years by these despicable, evil, pantomime politicians, which includes Pam Bondi. What an absolute baloney spewer, let's say. Talking and telling us all it's standard that there's a minute missing every night from the tape where the recordings are being filmed. Jeffrey Epstein's cell, Jeffrey Epstein's, you know, the location. Minute missing is the Pam Bondi every night. Well, how come it suddenly surfaced amongst these 33,000 other documents, most of it absolute BS, 97% of what we've seen already. But I know, hang on a minute, is there a strange figure dressed in black in the missing minute? I'm sure many of you have seen this by now, but let's take a look, shall we? Here we go. Footage shows missing minute from Epstein's prison cell before his unalivement. And we're going to watch, see this area here? Where I've got the cursor. Hopefully you can see that above the brow. Oh, there we go. Here we go. See some movement. See some movement. Behind the rail there. Shadowy figure dressed in black. Not a ghost. Got some movement here. So I think the official narrative now is that these are just staff members or something. Why? Why on earth did you lie to us and make us even more suspicious and even more eager to watch and find the missing minute and figure out what the hell are you trying to hide? We know this administration now is 100% behind the cover-up of anything substantial coming out from the Epstein files. We know this administration has lied to us consistently. Said the worst thing they could possibly say, nothing to see here, it's a hoax, move on. I mean, if you're a survivor being told this whole case is a hoax, how on earth is that going to feel to you? Like, your testimony does not matter one bit. We must protect the network. We must protect the CIA. We must protect the Mossad. And everyone else Jeffrey Epstein was in bed with, the elites, the intelligence assets, the donor class, the billionaires, the scientists, the politicians, all of whom form, here's Guy in Black coming up, all of whom form part of the network. So, a little bit of activity in this footage being revealed. The Pam Bondi completely lied to us all and told us that the minute was something that was standardly not recorded every night. Ridiculous, preposterous, nonsense. How stupid do these people think we are? And we've got Patrick with us right now. Thank you for coming on, Patrick. So I just showed some footage of the missing minute, which I assume you've seen by now. It's resurfaced. Pam Bondi told us that it didn't exist because it was standard procedure. What are your thoughts on the missing minute, Patrick?
Well, I just think it's audacious that they think that they can lie to our face. Like, we see it in real time and sense a lie. Like, it's like they think we're slow or something. It's like, nah, people on the internet are the objective truth. The chat knows what's up, what the chat says. I mean, objective global audiences. And these people just lie to our face like it's 1963 and the Mockingbird media will uphold that lie. Because now times have changed and the boomers really need to wake up or resign or get out of our way, because the internet remembers everything. We've been saying that since like 4chan took down Shia LaBeouf's flag with star charts and weather patterns and all that stuff. Now, how many years ago was that whole weird battle? If those who know, know. But yeah, like the video, it's embarrassing to think that they even thought they would get away with that lie in the first place. And now it's unraveling. So I just sit back and eat popcorn and kind of laugh at the audacity. And now I'm just thinking anything's possible. The movie Idiocracy is now a prophecy and a blueprint to what we're seeing now. So anything is possible. And I don't even begin to scoff or judge or look down on wild ideas anymore, because what was once conspiracy theory is now mainstream news.
Absolutely. And I love the outfit you're wearing today. I love the tie. Really nice colors there. And if you want to follow Patrick on X, I'm putting his link in the live chat. And his link is also in the description box as well. Now, did you get a chance to watch the conference with the survivors?
Yeah, I caught some of that this morning, actually, but then I had the beat feed over to Portland City Council. There's a lot of crazy things that happened in my personal life. And just, I'm like the Forrest Gump of incidents, somehow always on scene of the wildest things here in Portland or somehow also globally. And if you didn't see the videos, you'd be like, that's insane. Well, no, actually, you watch my Instagram and watch the show, those who know, know. And so the I did see the conference this morning. But I had to beat feet over to City Hall because, well, I wasn't in D.C. I was here, and I'm still lobbying them to build a statue for Virginia, because she helped call out local politicians years ago here in Portland, and they never wanted to acknowledge that. But now that it's all global news now, I'm like, hey, Virginia's dead. Portlanders need to acknowledge that she backed me up and took down Mercy Corps. And ironic that Mercy Corps announced selling the global headquarters the day she died. So the fight that brought us together was a weird bookend the day she left us. She didn't lose that fight. I feel that she helped me win that battle to some degree. And it's so I did see the press conference, and it was amazing. And some of the other people, some of the women who have never spoken before got a chance to speak. And I think that's what's kind of scaring the elites, because they have miscalculated this entire battle and narrative for more than 6 years, since the 90s, really. But especially since 2019, when it became blatantly obvious, it should have. But COVID hit and George Floyd hit, and they distracted the narrative away from Epstein. But right now, well, remember when I was on before Virginia died, and I said Virginia needs to go to Washington and walk right into the FBI headquarters and assertively yet respectfully demand to talk to Cash Patel. And, you know, well, then she passed away, and Cash Patel doesn't want to investigate the cyberbullying that led to her suicide from Lady Hervey, which is weird. Why? Because Cash Patel's in photos with Lady Hervey. And when I pointed that out, like, it was seen over 140,000 times on X. when I said, why is Cash hanging out with the lady who cyberbullied Virginia? That's weird. So we know he's not going to investigate the cyberbullying death of Virginia, because why would he? He's already compromised in the photo with the lady who did that. So that's been seen a lot of times. And I'm sure he probably is. I don't know. Maybe he has no idea of me or the situation. But we did say that, Sean, that like she should go to Washington, and that resonated. And although she's not with us, that message that she wanted, that she her brother Sky put out a note like months ago, and her diary came out, that some of her last jotted down notes were that she was encouraging people to protest. And it took a little while to get it organized, but this is just the beginning of many, many press conferences in D.C., I believe. So what are your vibes on it? What do you think? You've been front and center on all this for 6+ years, and I appreciate it.
Well, I thought it was a beautiful thing that all the survivors came together today, and they were all tipping their hat to Virginia and saying that none of it would be possible without Virginia. And Virginia family members spoke on her behalf as well. Just to let people know, if you didn't see the live conference, so they spoke about their experiences on Capitol Hill earlier today, in a push to for the administration to release additional files on Epstein. There was close to a dozen victims, and the conference was hosted by Representative Thomas Massie, Republican, Ro Khanna, Democrat, who are pushing a bill to release the Justice Department's documents, despite some files being published on Tuesday. So, like Patrick pointed out, many of the survivors spoke publicly for the first time, offering details not yet widely reported. Shantae Davis, former actress, shared that Epstein's longtime girlfriend, Maxwell, first introduced her to the financier because he could help her career. And that introduction was the start of a long pattern of abuse, including trips to the island and different homes. Quote, his biggest brag forever was that he was very good friends with Donald Trump, she said. He had an 8x10 frame picture of him on his desk with the two of them. They were very close. And she also claimed to have been taken on a trip to Africa with former President Bill Clinton and other notable figures. So Marina, 37, named as minor victim one in the 2019 indictment, spoke out about the SA she faced and called on Congress to take further action at the event. According to the 2019 indictment, she met Jeffrey in 2002 when she was just 14, and she was recruited to go to his Manhattan home to give him a massage, which then led to years of SA. She was called so often by his associates to visit that she dropped out of high school, she said on Capitol Hill, and noted how it was her first time sharing such intimate details of what had happened to her. She called for the release of additional files to help her heal from her interactions with Jeffrey and Maxwell. The worst part is that the government is still in possession right now of the documents and information about that that could help me remember and get over all of this, maybe, and help me heal. And she was in tears. They have documents with my name on them that were confiscated from Jeffrey's house and could help me put the pieces of my own life back together, but I don't have any of it. And I know the same is true for many of these women. So we are doing a call-in show tonight, viewers. The details are on the screen. And it seems like we have got Rex on the line. Is Rex there?
I'm here. How are you, Sean?
Oh, good to hear your charming accent again, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm very well. It's great. I didn't get the notification for the live, so thanks for the WhatsApp. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're pretty much shadow banned because of all of our work on this case.
I know. It's sad, isn't it? It's like, my gosh.
Did you get a chance to watch the survivors speak today?
I didn't. Not yet, Sean. But just listening to, like, I mean, the 33,000... if they can tell their story and get those shattered memories back together so they can actually just bury it, get on with their lives. And this is just, it's rolling after rolling, you know, it's an ever-ending story at this stage. But no, I hope justice will prevail. That's basically, I'm kind of a deer in the headlights right now trying to put it together, but yeah, you know, at least you're shining a light in all of this, Sean, and, you know, that's what we all have to do bit by bit.
Well, we streamed about 2 hours of it earlier today, and one of my favourite parts was when one of the speakers said that if Acosta hadn't got the sweetheart deal and set the monster loose again, many of those survivors wouldn't have been up there speaking today, because all of those heinous things would never have happened to them. And yet Acosta is not being held to account for enabling, you know, Jeffrey to slip through the cracks and do these monstrous things. So I thought that was a really good point that speaker made.
Exactly, yeah, for certain. Like, I mean, that's the chain reaction, isn't it? I mean, that's the beginning of it.
Yeah. I don't know if you've watched any of our previous work with Patrick, but he's been on this case a lot, and he's been carrying the banner for Virginia. Do you have any questions for Patrick, Rex?
Pat, I have. I've listened to you a couple of times on the show, Patrick, and I think holding the flag for Virginia, man, that's more power to you, man. And I just hope this book that's going to be released, I mean, is there going to be omissions? Is it going to be edited and doctored? Like, because who's the publisher? I remember, Sean, you were mentioning the publisher of this book that's coming out. Is that going to omit things? Is it going to redact the truth? I mean, the name. So, Patrick, fair play, man. It's great that you're rounding up the troops and you're getting merchandise out there for people to wear it boldly. So more power to you, man.
Well, I have to correct that. I appreciate it, but I've actually never sold any merchandise because I don't want to get accused as a grifter. I knew Virginia. I really care about her a lot and her message, but I made a couple prints just for myself and close friends. But I do want to get to a point where I can get them out to the masses and not have to charge, because I think that even homeless people deserve dope drip and the gospel of St. Virginia, if you will. But at the point, I'm not really that this is a one-off print, couple prints that I made custom to honor her and to spread the message. But it's like, how do you get them out to the masses without, you know, because the narrative is very important to protect her name. And there's going to be a lot of opportunities. There already have been opportunities like James O'Keefe trying to grift. And Juliet Bryant called out James O'Keefe like a while back, right after he did that Prince Ange, I'm going into hiding, I'm in danger, bro. The other night, literally, two nights ago, I was in the, like, coming home, like, 3 o'clock in the morning on an electric scooter in downtown Portland. I heard, like, a help. Like, did I just hear a help? But I couldn't see where. I looked around the Mercedes. There was a dude getting, like, choked out to death or almost about to be stabbed. And so I'm like, get off the man now. Like, sounded like an LRAD cop, like, riot cop. And, like, it's dark. He doesn't know who's yelling that. And I'm playing the role of get off him now. And I'm only armed with my voice. So, like, ultimately, what had happened is this guy almost, like, murdered somebody. And because I was there with my voice, I got them off of each other. And so, like, I had to go to city council not only for, like, a statue for Virginia, but also, like, incidences like that. And so I forgot my main point to that. There was like a tangential major connection as to why I brought that up. But I really want to get the message out of the St. Virginia like hats and hoodies, because I believe that there's all these people on the streets that also deserve dignity and respect. And a lot of times lives can be lost, whether it's Virginia or that guy that I literally saw almost get murdered. And if it weren't for my projection voice and videotaping the whole thing, like, people wouldn't believe it. So I think it's really important that, like, we all got to hold Virginia's message up, but also encourage even people on the street that they can change and whatnot as well. So it's funny for me to have to go to city council today, because a lot of these people know who I am, but like former staffers of other politicos that were short-sighted and slanderous and punching down upon me in Virginia. Virginia had called out Sam Adams, a groomer who is now persona non grata and out the game, but a lot of these people now on the council, their heads go down when I walk in the room. It was kind of weird. It's like, I didn't have to say anything today. I went in to hold the space for Virginia at council, because a lot of those people knew that Virginia called out Sam. And some of those people are awkwardly late to the council meeting because I'm patiently, quietly, and chilly sitting in the audience looking like John Wick. But I know some of the other counselors, shout out to Jamie Dunphy's office. He's like a younger candidate and super chill music kind of guy, a former skater, former professional Politico and staffer, but he didn't even know Alyssa Kenegaard was the granddaughter of JCPenney. He was higher level than me for many years. So I had to bless him with some wisdom and knowledge of who slandered me and cut me out the game. And so it was so funny to see him after not seeing him for a while. I've been lobbying him to get a statue for Virginia and Portland. But I didn't come to council at all to speak. I wasn't on the agenda. The reason I went to the council was not to lobby for a St. Virginia statue, which I want to do at some point. But I was there in an immediate circumstance of an issue that, like, hey, Jamie, some cops are threatening to arrest me because they don't believe that I could command someone to stop trying to murder somebody and that they actually just got off them and that's a thing. Because they got to yell at people with guns that they don't even listen. They just, like, say, F the police. And so they can't, some of these rough cops, yeah, like, cannot believe. So ultimately, today at City Council was interesting because I went to be neutral to remind people, hey, when people are in D.C., I could be talking about Virginia today, but ultimately, like, I need to tell Jamie Dunphy about this attempted murder and how the cops are, like, threatening to arrest me for trying to send them the video. Like, what? So it was very interesting that, like, they never know what I'm going to come about, and I should be there for Virginia, but it's like, actually, I'm being slandered by the police bureau, like, currently because they know about these high-level whistleblowing issues, and they don't like me, some of them. Some of them do, some of them don't, but ultimately, like, right now, I'm just trying to report, like, there's an active attempted murderer running loose, and I have the video of who that is. That's very important to me and probably should be other people. But it's not because they look at me with political animosity and they can't believe that I would actually stop an attempted murder in progress and ignore the Epstein justice to get justice focused just one on this right now. And they look at me on the macro like, screw that guy. So today was very interesting. Sorry to tangent, but it's been a rough, like, little bit for me for a while.
Rex, you raised an interesting point about the book.
Sorry, Sean, could you repeat that, man? Sorry.
Yeah, you raised an interesting point about Virginia's book because the publisher of the book, Nobody's Girl, which is scheduled to be released on October 21st, 2025, is Alfred Knopf, which is K-N-O-P-F. And if you look who owns Alfred Knopf, it's Penguin Random House, and then you got to look who owns Penguin Random House, and that is controlled by the German media conglomerate Bertelsmann, and then you got to look at who owns it goes round and round. So Bertelsmann is an unlisted and capital market orientated company which remains primarily controlled by the Mohn family. So I don't even know who the Mohn family are. They own the majority of it, apparently. Now, my first book, which was published, I think, in 2010, Hard Time, was published by Random House, Penguin Random House. And, you know, I was new to the business, and I didn't realize how long it takes to get a book published. So once you've written it, it goes through an editorial process, but then it goes through an even longer legal process, whereby they do a legal read. So because this case is like a lightning rod right now, their legal department, they'll have had their top lawyers go over it at the publishing house. And if someone is not convicted of a crime and you make allegations against that person, you know, they've got to weigh that very carefully. They may have to change names. They may have to change descriptions of people. They may have to change locations of people, even in my stories, because they pertain to true crime. Unless you can get someone to sign off to consent on what you have written about them in your book, then you've got to change their name, change their location, change their description, etc. So there's no identifying factors. So it's not going to come out completely, you know, this person's done that, this person's done the other. Naming loads of names, I don't think legally they're going to allow that to happen. But hopefully, you know, they'll take it as far as they can, because Andrew Loney, his book has been published by a major publisher here, exposing Prince Andrew and Epstein, and it's caused a lot of heat on Prince Andrew right now. So power to Andrew Loney. I think Patrick wants to come in and say something.
Yeah. I would just say that hypothetically, if you know how to use Google, you perhaps perhaps may be able to find her actual unredacted book through the court docudumps. It was involved in a legal case, and therefore the book was submitted entirely. And so I have seen this. I won't say much about it, but if people are looking for what Virginia really wanted to say, whether it gets published fully or not, it perhaps may be online already for those who wish to know.
Allegedly.
Well, you said right. It beautifully, Patrick, armed with your voice. So that's what you guys are doing. Just keep being armed with your voice.
And I love the name, Rex. I mean, you chiming in with that name and this issue, like, yo, props to you. And the accent as well. I got a friend named Rex, and he's probably just as badass as you are. So appreciate you tapping in, man.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
Rex, we're going to let you go at this point to see if anyone else wants to call in. And we're going to move over to a little bit of a clip from Juliet Bryant. But thank you for calling in, my friend. I hope to speak to you again.
Thanks for having us. And I'm looking forward to getting on YouTube now. So appreciate it, guys. Have a lovely night.
You too. Take care, my friend. Cheers.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. So Juliet Bryant was not at the thing today, talking as a survivor, but she has sent me something on X. Let me see if I can get this up. 1 second, and we will play this video that she's put out there. Share screen, Juliet Bryant. Share, make it big. Make it big. Let's see. There we go. Make it big. Play. Make it big. What am I doing? Right. Have we got that on the screen yet? Yeah, it's on the screen. All right. Well, let's see if we make this big. Play. Oh, something's gone weird. Let me just refresh this, folks. Something's gone wrong. Oh, they really don't want us to play this, do they? Has my ex just disappeared? Wow. Something went wrong. Try reloading.
We're getting a cyber attack, bro. This is crazy.
Messages
like Uncle Mike, call your cyber people off. Well, he did mess with Julian Assange, so I have to wonder, like, how deep does it go when I get involved with stuff? Like, I don't know, it's weird. That's what I told Virginia. Virginia, support Assange because my uncle put him in jail. We need to like unite people against the BS. And I don't know how much. I'm just being hyperbolic and kind of joking around, but it is crazy though, like the amount of tech censorship and effery that. You're noticing it in real time in the live. It's weird.
My Twitter inbox no longer exists.
Oh my god, are you being nuked right? No. Dude, Sean, this happened in my first profile. Dude, this can't be happening.
No. It's gone. No. I've just refreshed it like 10 times. I'll show you again if you didn't see it. Let me put it
because
back
I understood when this happened to me, because Vijaya Gade, who is trusted safety, sat on the board of Mercy Corps. So when I united Virginia and Mercy Corps victims, I understood why I got nuked, because it was way too close to the issue. But Elon owns this now, so we're being told that it's the new Twitter, the new X, and shouldn't be doing this. So this is what really bothersome right now.
I had this all lined up. I'd watched it before I came on the air. It was ready to play. And then the minute I tried to play it, my X inbox has been completely zapped, and I've been on X
for
God knows how long, and I've never ever had my inbox zapped.
Well, this is exactly what they did to my original X. I couldn't even get into it. They nuked my inbox, and that was where I first met Virginia. And although we have extensive DMs with her on Insta, my first Twitter is where I first met her, and we talked for over a year extensively in that DM box. And now that she's gone, that's a walking crime scene, and I need to remember and know what happened. You know, why did she call me legendary? All the things that we had talked about, and what were those things that were so powerful that they had to nuke my entire inbox and account? And now I'm witnessing them do it to you in real time. This is literally insane.
I've just tried to do it on my phone. Cannot retrieve messages at this time. Please try again later.
Everybody get on the phone to call Elon Musk right now. Sean needs to show up right now and defend this man's honor. We're going to defend Virginia's honor, but right now, on the day that the Epstein victims are having a press conference in D.C., which we prophesized months ago and called for before Virginia died, now that on that day, the voices are coming together, reverberating loudly. And this wouldn't be happening if it weren't for you, Sean. You're like the King Arthur, the Merlin of the Round Table, bringing all these people together, breathing life into a narrative they wanted dead long ago. And it's just like weird that they're doing this on the very day that they can't ignore it.
I cannot believe that this has become the biggest story in the world, and it's burning the Trump administration down. Oh, here we go. Bailey's just said my ex is down as well. Check your exes, folks. Let us know in the chat. If your exes are down, I would be interested to hear that.
Would they down the ex of the internet to block from this reverberating to society, bro? All things are possible.
Let's see if it's come back yet. It's not going to stay down for long, hopefully.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Well, perhaps if you're in the chat, you can keep us posted as to when X messages come back on stream, and we'll continue with the show.
So what was it that Juliet sent you? What was it that you were trying to show us?
She sent a message just saying that she wasn't there today, but thanking somebody for reading something that she'd sent for the survivors to read. I've not actually listened to the video in its entirety, but I would like to play it and get a reaction to it with everybody else. So I'll just wait and see. But it looks like X has got big time problems right now. Moving on with the stories, then we've got, what is it? Epstein files show off a naked Maxwell and photos of powerful figures in resurfaced videos. Jeffrey decorated his Palm Beach lair with images of him with powerful people and naked women, including Maxwell. Footage released with the 33,000 things by the House Oversight Committee gave a look inside the Florida mansion in 2005 when police investigated him for abusing a 14-year-old. And that's when he had this pyramid scheme at the school whereby he would get girls over, lure them in, offer them a couple hundred dollars to do a massage, and then he'd try and abuse them. And if they resisted, then he would try and recruit them to recruit other girls from the school. So many girls were going from this school to his house. It was the talk of the school, and he even had the audacity to send flowers to the school to some of the girls. And girls who were finding other girls were getting finder's fees and etc. But they're all survivors. They're all victims of this guy's monstrous network. And, you know, it's disgusting that the police and some of the media, you know, to talk about them has been, you know, participants and stuff like that when they were indoctrinated from this high school age. And Jeffrey showed off over a dozen images of Maxwell in the home, with one showing her naked on the beach. Other framed photos around the now demolished home showed the couple posing with Fidel Castro and meeting Pope John Paul II. He purchased the home in 1990 for $2.5 million and made it the center for his monstrous grooming empire, targeting girls around the age of 14. And it looks like we may have John calling in right now. Hey, John, how's it going?
Yeah, fantastic. Sean, you better ask me some questions, but before you do, I better tell you who I am, actually.
Go for it.
Okay, so my little sister, who always acts as if she's older, and she's very estranged from the family, whatever is left of it now. She's a top manager at one of the biggest, well, it's a Canadian-based mining companies in the world, okay? Her godparents, one of them is, was Barbara Hutchinson, so that's Barbara Hutchinson Rothschild. So you're talking to someone that knows these people. Now, from there, and I apologize, if I come across as an arrogant snob, I'm going to let that happen because it's probably a good way to get an insight into some of this. Now, from there, ask me a question.
Well, the first question will be, did you watch the survivors speak today?
Yes, I did, yeah.
And how did it make you feel?
There were two really interesting things that came out of that for me. Well, don't worry, I can do South African accent if you want. But the two interesting things, I'm responding to a chat line there, but the two interesting things were that somebody said there's a lot more to it than has come out, that's true. Then the second thing that was very interesting was Speaker Johnson said it involves an adversarial country, and that was a surprise to me because I'm not sure who he's talking about or who he would be talking about. From my personal experience in history, Sean, you know, like I actually know why they pick, you know, they bring in very young people. It's not just a sex-based thing.
Yep, keep going. Oh, we lost you. Keep going. Oh, I think we've lost him. One of the things
is we're losing X accounts and X is going down and we're losing people on the phone. What is going on?
One of the things that struck me when I was watching the survivors. Oh, you're still there, John?
Thank God. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm here.
Okay. Keep going, John. Well, John, you were talking about the survivors and what struck you.
Yeah. Okay. So these the ones that are in the public, those are people who have come into the public view, and they'll be supported by whatever lawyers, like, you know, that Lady McCauley, whatever her name is, the one from Florida that was very, very good with one of them. I forget what her name is. It's Sigrid McCauley. She was the main lawyer that was in the court cases. And then you've got the Gloria Allred. So those people are on the front end. But and everyone's going to focus on sexploit, or well, let's whatever name you want to call it, exploitation. But some of these things are highly systematic. They're organized. They don't just involve a certain Jeffrey Epstein. So people from organized groups will try and find certain types of people. So in order to find those people, they've got to go through a lot, and they'll select from out of them. So, I mean, the bottom line is, I'll cut to the chase here, the people that are really compromised, if there are any that the facts can come out on, will be people that are highly placed in places like, for example, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That's where the money comes from. So, and those people that do that, they're not in the public eye. So you're looking at the victims that are in the public eye, and they're not the only people that are involved. And it's a systematic thing. It's not, people are looking at it to say, oh, you know, he's a perverted guy. Yeah, and he might be. But that's not how it starts and what it's all about.
Yeah, you've nailed it there, John. There's the much bigger picture. And you talked about, you know, adversarial countries. So any country that's trying to overthrow the national security of another country through honey trap operations is an adversary to that country, whether they're trying to, you know, control people in power to get certain decisions made. And, you know, we think that that is what the bottom line is here. What do you think about that, Patrick?
I definitely agree. Not much to it more than I agree. I kind of can talk too much for the both of us sometimes, and this is where I listen.
Yeah, because the objective of the apparatus that employed Epstein, we believe, was to compromise politicians, billionaires, scientists, etc., so that certain countries could, you know, have leverage over those people, and when key decisions were to be made, they would apply that pressure upon them. And that includes Bill Clinton, because we had Ari Ben-Menashe on, and he specified in the part two that we did with him that when Bill Clinton and Ehud Barak were supposed to broker peace with Yasser Arafat for Palestine, that Clinton and Ehud Barak, Clinton was told that he could not broker peace because he'd been compromised by Jeffrey. Ari Ben-Menashe even said the instruction came from Jeffrey to Bill Clinton to not broker peace with Ari Ben-Menashe. So that's the stuff that the mainstream media isn't talking about. And it's what you, I think, were alluding to, John, but I've just given a concrete example of it.
Well, that's exactly correct, because where the money comes from is the weapons dealing. Why you can't broker peace is because behind people like you, one, you know, we have to face facts. As far as I understand, have I dropped off or am I still there?
You're here. Still here. Keep going.
Whatever. Okay. As far as I understand, Jeffrey Epstein was the director of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now that's Henry Kissinger and all that, you know, Dick Cheney. This is that's where the story is, you know. They have got no compunction in dealing with these women the way that you see in the front end now. That is just part of the whole picture. The picture is extremely, it's completely deadly. And, as I've said before, I doubt whether the whole picture will come out. What has to happen is people like Speaker Johnson are going to have to make arrangements that for people who have been harmed in Inch. Now, really what Kash Patel and Bongino need to do is organise a unit that is their special job is to make sure that, you know, this sort of thing, the FBI is watching for it not to happen, and that some you know, mechanism is used to support these people because they have been involved. Where they have been involved is not necessarily a government spying organization, but 100% definitely is a military weapons dealing organization linked with very major NGOs with enormous funds and reach, you know. So it's deadly. It's not straightforward. You know, it's not safe. It's not in any way benign.
Goes back to Robert Maxwell, Khashoggi, the arms deals, Iran-Contra. But we've got Gary wants to call in. John, thank you for your insights. We're going to have to let you go. And you have a great rest of your day. Take care. Cheers.
Thank you.
Nice, thank
you.
A good one.
All right, so we are going to bring Gary in next and continue the discourse on not just what the survivors have said today, but also the 33,000 baloney files that have been released. The only thing of interest was Jeffrey's cell, the missing minute, just showing that Pam Bondi is an absolute Pinocchio. And these people just lie in our faces constantly and expect us to swallow their BS. Let's see if Gary is there. Is Gary there, Ben? Let me see if Ben's going to bring Gary in. If not, I will see what it says about the 33,000 documents, what the latest is. Did you get a chance to look at any of the document stories?
Not the stories directly, but I did skim over some articles with experts who went into quite a bit saying that it was kind of a... I shout out to King motherfucking Bao. King Bao. King Bao did like a video on how he said that Representative Ana Paulina Luna was trying to sell that as like a major disclosure, but apparently 97% was already stuff we knew or was already I'm not sure about that, but that's what I heard from Bao. And that dude's so real that he did the Jimmy Kimmel challenge, exposing the fact that Jimmy Kimmel was friends with Adam Perry Lang for like 100+ days on Instagram. And King Bao is like a bare knuckle boxer, and he has his own show, and he's all about saving the children. He does many things, a man of many talents, but he's also hardcore anti-Epstein cover-up, just as much as you are in his own world. And I'd like to have him on the show sometime, actually, because, like, yeah, he did have a hand in trolling Jimmy Kimmel to get canceled. Yeah, he did do that, but they'll never give people like that the credit when these people fall, because that would just make the legend of Bao even more legendary. Can't admit that, but yeah, I did look into it a little bit. But tell me your perspective. Was anything new in that whole document dump? What do we need to focus on? What do we need to know?
It was just like phase one of the Epstein files release with some bells and whistles and trinkets on it. The story is, let's see, U.S. House of Representatives released thousands of pages of records. The 33,000 pages included years-old court filings related to Epstein and Maxwell, as well as what appears to be body cam footage from police searches and police interviews. The files appear to contain information that is already public knowledge. let's see.
I gotta shake my head. How long are they gonna do these fake releases and think we're gonna continue to buy? Owen Schwartz just quit InfoWars the other day or today. I think that partly is the reason. So, like, yo, even like the most diehard Trump supporters are like, nah, you've been lying how many times, and every time we get roasted for the lies, and we can't keep doing this. So it's amazing to finally see everyone on all sides coming together. It's beautiful to see Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie doing a political gang truce. Hell, I've been doing political alchemy for a while now. Back in the day, people called me crazy for saying, I'm going to get, Antifa and patriots to stop fighting and talk about prison reform, because progressives and libertarians agree on these issues, but there's always a diatribe, not a dialogue. But eventually, Ammon Bundy actually signaled support for Black Lives Matter in 2020. Why? Well, it was to create dialogue, not a diatribe. And they are saying all these people are violent on the left and the right. Well, maybe some of them are, but maybe some of them are just getting really upset because they're not being heard. And maybe if we just try this radical thing called a roundtable discussion, then maybe we could create peace. But we can't do that if we're all angry at each other in our own hearts first. So it's like I'm a walking psychology test when I said, like, yo, we need to create political alchemy on these things. And so political gang truce is something I specialize in, and people slandered me in the past for saying it couldn't be done. And then how many times have I been doing it? And so it's beautiful to see that resonating through the halls of Congress finally. Because when I said it months ago, you heard it, and a lot of your audience heard it, but did Congress really hear it? I'm not so sure. It took Virginia dying and the survivors all coming together in the wake of that to actually make them wake up and smell the coffees. But it is beautiful. I don't care if people are late to the party. Everybody can grow and learn and change, as long as we're all getting to the same page at some point and can talk and have a dialogue. And the boomers, they're really pissed off. The Champagne Democrats, the Country Club Republicans with their unholy alliance to cover this up, they're very upset. But I'd just like to see this moment in history. I'm glad that we're talking about it, setting the example. And you, Sean, like I said, you're like, I don't know, Merlin or King Arthur setting the round table so humbly yet hardcore expert. Like, it's humbling to be a part of the conversation.
Well, we have got hundreds of millions of people carrying the spirit of Virginia forward right now, up in arms, demanding that something concrete gets released. I'm just looking at Trump's approval rating. So according to The Economist, 226 days into Trump's term, his net approval rating is now minus 14%, whereby 41% approve, 55% disapprove, and 3% are not sure. And I'm looking at a graph of it, and it's just been trending down completely. We've had this story going on now for over 2 months. Looks like at the end of May, his approval rating was minus 7%, and now it's sunk to minus 14. Yeah, so that's you know, putting a lot of pressure on him to do the right thing, hopefully. But yeah, continuing the story then, the Republicans and the Democrats said that the files contain little new information, and it is unclear if the Justice Department is withholding other records. Pressure is continuing to grow on Trump, because they said, you know, they did the sit down with Putin, and they said that Epstein and Trump was no longer being Google search and all that baloney. But the pressure is continuing to grow, even from Trump's own supporters, for more transparency on the probe. After the Justice Department said in July there was no incriminating Epstein list, which just made a lot of people really upset. Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer ordered the documents to be published yesterday, and the Republican-led panel received the files after issuing a legal summons to the Department of Justice that last month. So they forced the Department of Justice to do this with a legal summons. They didn't even want to do this, folks. Our current administration in America, who promised they were going to get in and do the right thing, they didn't even want to release this stuff, even though there was little fresh information. Comer said, as far as I can see, there's nothing new in the documents. The videos released included the footage from the cell, which we started this stream with today. It includes 13 hours and 41 seconds of video from the facility covering the evening of the 9th of August and the morning of 10th when he was unalived. This is 2 hours more of video than what the Justice Department released 2 months ago. So they've had it this whole time, and they've just messed with our heads and not released it and lied to us about why stuff was missing. Previously released footage, it had a 60-second gap that appeared immediately before midnight in the time code. But this gap has now been filled, and it's been shown everywhere. Pam Bondi previously said the missing minute was just the jail's camera system resetting each night. Wow. However, the anomaly had stoked theories about the official finding of Epstein dying by his own hand. The tranche of documents also includes several clips from 2006 showing interviews with people who said they were survivors. Their faces are blurred and names removed from the audio as they talk about the SA while they were getting hired for massages. Other video shows body cam footage from police in Palm Beach, Florida, as they search a home belonging to Epstein. And, you know, we spoke to one of the cops from Florida who was at the home taking evidence. And his colleague was Joe Ricurry. And Joe Ricurry said, this ain't going to see the light of day, this evidence. And then Joe Ricurry mysteriously died in his 50s. He was perfectly healthy. And his colleague, who I interviewed, fled to Russia. He was so scared, and his house got raided. And I think he's still in Russia. Some of the documents date back 20 years, covering an initial criminal investigation into Epstein launched by Palm Beach Police. But Robert Garcia, a top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, said in a statement to the American people, don't let this fool you. Well said. After careful review, oversight Democrats have found that 90% of the documents received from the Department of Justice was already public. There is no mention of any client list or anything that improves transparency or justice for victims. So they are still trying to fool us, folks. They're lining Maxwell up for an early release. They're not sitting down with the survivors, and they're just still lying to our faces and withholding information. And it's absolutely sickening. So, you know, we're almost at the hour. If anyone's got any final questions, get them in the chat. If you've got any questions for Patrick, if you want to follow Patrick on X, his link is in the description box. If you want to join us on the screen, the StreamYard link is in the description box as well. And have you got any closing thoughts, Patrick?
Yeah, I know that Virginia had a sense of humor, and we talked extensively about that. I was one of the first people, if not the first, she ever messaged on Instagram, and I told her, welcome to the land of dank memes, food pics, and memetic warfare, and we're welcome to have you. We're honored to have you. And she called me a legend, and I'm like, no, you're the legend. You're the one taking down Prince Andrew. But she knew what we do in Portland, which is like protest bullshit. And so she was like, you put F. Ted Wheeler on a hoodie, put his name in a rap song that made the mayor move at a block party concert. I said, yeah, it was bipartisan. He was universally hated, internationally hated, and I just culture jammed it all. And so I know that she had a sense of humor based on that. That's why I made the St. Virginia hoodies. And I think that she would be down for a block party, rave, protest, blending all of the, not a crazy protest, but a block party, rave, concert in D.C. or every city in the world. And Sean, what better a person to ask how to do this than Sean Atwood? Don't you know a little bit about some raves and whatnot? Like, you, the OG, bless us with the wisdom and knowledge of how we make this fun and interesting so it doesn't die out.
Oh, appreciate that, brother. Now, X has come back up.
Oh, snap.
So let me, yeah, my X is back up. Let me try and get Juliet's message up. And we are trying to get Juliet back on as well. So let
my
me...
name is Juliet Rose Bryant. I was kidnapped by Jeffrey Epstein 23 years ago when he was in Africa with Bill Clinton. I'm so sorry I could not be at the rally today. Unfortunately, I'm too frightened to travel to America after everything that has happened. I would, however, like to read my speech, which was read out at the rally. I wish I could have been here today. Unfortunately, I'm too frightened to travel to America after everything that has happened. I am, however, here in spirit, like many other victims, such as Virginia Gaffer and Carolyn Adriano. I want to speak out for all victims of abuse, especially those who can no longer speak, those both alive and dead. For years, the truth about Epstein has been covered up. They say there is no Epstein list. Speak to us. It's time to dig deeper. It's time to look into the financial records. It is clear that there's been a big cover up here. We have all been lied to. It is especially difficult for victims of Epstein to move on with their lives, considering how it's thrown in our faces daily through the media without any closure whatsoever. The public have now become victims of this as well. We have all been hurt very badly by this. It's time for the truth to come out. It's time to stand up for victims of all crimes. It's time for perpetrators to be held accountable. Thank you for all being there and for standing by myself and the other victims. Together we can all make change. There's great strength in numbers. And we all need to stand together and make change. Together. Thank you everyone for caring and seeing us.
Oh, we love Juliet. Sending loving vibes to you, Juliet. You are absolutely amazing, brave person, and we appreciate what you're saying there, and we wish you much strength. And I've spoke to you a lot. We did the podcast with you. I would urge viewers to watch the podcast we did with Juliet so you can comprehend her full story. But Juliet is amazing. It looks like we might have one final caller. Is Gary still there, Ben?
Yep.
Hello, mate. I am.
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
Not too bad, brother. Not too bad. I did speak to you a couple of weeks ago and your assistant, nice guy, was doing it at talking to polite vetting people for you, and he just said on there that there's been loads of extra files released on the Epstein thing, and that sounds like a lot, 30 odd thousand, so that's crazy amount. I thought there wasn't anything there, they just were saying nothing to see, so that's crazy, isn't it?
1 minute there's nothing there, next minute there's 33,000 pages. It's Houdini with his smoke and mirrors. That's what this administration should be garbed in the magician's clothing and clown costumes as well to reveal their true inauthentic selves, I reckon.
Sean, as well as I do that there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors that always goes on when things are being shown. It's like probably something looking in another direction that we're not looking at as these things are being released, And I don't know, man. I just think, they are, like, you know, all the Facebook people, Zuckerberg, and all these dudes are like building bases underground, and the government say they built a giant base. And I just feel that there's something that, like, the UK are, you know, making things really hard for people. And it's going, I think they just want to light a touch paper. I feel it's a bit crazy. I think things are like building up, and this is maybe a bit of a smokescreen. I don't know. Like, I definitely believe, like you, that so many things have gone on that island, and we probably only know a fraction of what's gone on now. But I just don't know. I just feel something's quite round the corner, Sean, that's like, you know, a little bit like crazy. I can feel it. All the flags are going up around England. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? You know, so it's crazy. The Tommy Robinson stuff as well. But just thank you for your show, and just please keep it up. Like, keep up what you're doing, and I hope it all goes well for you guys.
Oh, well, thank you very much for your kind words, and thank you for calling in this evening. Have a great evening, my friend. Take care.
Yeah. You too, Sean, and yeah, just keep going, and when you see David, like, tell him just keep it up as well, because he's been trying for a long, long time, and had a lot of bashing when he's been right on nearly everything. So yeah, send him my regards, and you take care, and your assistant, take care.
All right, cheers. Yeah, he touched on something important there. You know, he can feel this combustible thing in the air. And it's everywhere. And David Icke came to my mind immediately when he was saying that, because he predicted that the globalists were going to accelerate us towards the one world government, new world order, Hunger Games society. And Starmer's just announced now they want us all to have this national ID, and they've got the AI. The government's got the AI now, just watching absolutely everything we are doing, from our internet activities to our bank accounts to our conversations with people on our phones. And as technology advances faster, the agenda advances faster. And England, you know, a lot of people are trying to stand up to it here, and they're getting thrown in prison just for social media posts. And now we've got this bizarre, the signs up when we were driving, we went up to the north, for Ziggy's birthday, saw lots of British flags on the way up there, over 100 of them on the roads and stuff. But there's also signs saying the government is going to take control of our phones on Sunday and do an alert to us all.
Oh, we had one of those in Portland like last week. I was on the news because I was like walking past the news guy. I'm like, what's the story? What are you filming? And this is the same guy who filmed me like responding to a shooting at the library a month before. So I'm just like Forrest Gump on scene to everything. Now I become undeniable to the local news, to the point where I'm like walking past him, like, what's the story today? Oh, we're having an emergency alert. And like, as I'm talking to him, I get the emergency alert on my phone. And he like turns the camera to me because he's looking for B-roll content of people getting it. So I'm like, yeah. But it's funny you mentioned it. Like, this is a global operation, Sean. And it's clear. We're getting into Multnomah County, Portland, Oregon. You're getting over in the UK. They're trying to act like and gaslight us that this ain't happening, but it's happening worldwide.
Yeah, and it's getting scary. The way there's protests all over the country here right now, the cops are just spraying people and arresting people, arresting pensioners, arresting blind people, arresting people for social media posts, when they should be out arresting the predators, the outworkers of the kids. But they absolutely do not give a hoot. They pretend to be doing something about the people who are associated with Epstein just so they can save face. They pretend to be doing stuff about all the teenage girls in this country getting R-worded by the predators just so they can save face. Keir Starmer says, oh, yeah, we're going to look into this, look into that. They're just pretending, folks. They're pretending they care. They don't give a crap. They are coming for our freedoms. They are coming for our liberties. They are coming for our kids. And it's terrifying when you hear the stories from these women, and they're not taken seriously by the justice system. So they are my closing thoughts. We've gone over the hour. Patrick, would you like to add some closing thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, I just want to recap a couple things. Today, Sean Atwood's X account was malfunctioning or messed with, one or the other. That should be documented on the day that you know, all the roundtable work that he's been doing, bringing all these people on the platform together and keeping the story alive. We're still talking about it here now. And, yep, tech effery is still happening in real time. So that should be noted. But let's keep the story live. If we make it so I know politicians, I've worked in politics for a while. These people think it's going to be a cool retirement plan for them to run for office and build a legacy. And, like, they don't really have to do much because they'll hire staffers to do everything. Well, no, times are changing. If we're the cool crowd and we are the cool kids on the block and we're creating political gang truces, and we're forcing that. Well, there's no going back. We've got to keep the momentum. We've got to make it so uncool for them to run away from a camera when they're asked about Epstein. Like, y'all are some weirdos. Like, y'all are boomers. Like, no disrespect. But if they think that it's so uncool to hide that they won't even run for office anymore, that we make it such the issue so long that only people who want to tackle this issue even want to put their name in the hat for fear of being embarrassed. And that's what I would encourage people. Follow all the women. Follow all the stories. Amplify their voices. Today is their day and Virginia's day. And Sean, I just want to thank you for bringing it all together, as you always do.
All right. Thanks, my friend. I'm going to close the show and let you go. Take care. Cheers.
Have a good one.
Nice one. So if you want to support Patrick again, I'll put his X in the live chat. And his X is also in the description box. And, you know, what he was saying there, it just reminds me, you've got the Republicans, the Democrats, you've got the blue clowns and the red clowns. And we see through them, folks. In this high-tech internet era, yeah, they're trying to turn it on us. But we're also turning it on them. Because when I was growing up, it was BBC News, and that was the gospel. But now there's a hell of a lot of people out there doing good work, exposing what's going on. And, you know, we're trying to get more guests on of that ilk. And we are supporting people like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, etc., Joe Rogan, when they're calling out the Trump administration for not releasing the Epstein files. And, of course, the clowns, the blue clowns and the red clowns, there is a ringmaster. They have no real say in what is going on. The ringmaster does. And that evil entity, the invisible hand that is guiding these clowns, we will endeavor to keep exposing it and the network. So thank you for tuning in, folks. Great day for the survivors.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.